So the second initiation is called the initiation of baptism. It's initiation, and the baptism of Jesus is symbolic of the second initiation. It's where you enter in baptism, you take the person, you dunk him under the water, and water is symbolic of the emotions. So he's drenched in the emotions, and then he rises above the emotions. You take him out of the water into the air, and air is symbolic of mind. So the second degree initiate gets completely drenched in the emotional world, but then he's able to rise out into the plane of the mind and see above the emotions. So he can see what is real from the unreal. And the interesting thing about the emotional world is it turns everything upside down. It's like everything seen through the emotions is like looking in a mirror. When you look in a mirror, you don't see your real face. You see your face reversed. So if you've only seen your face in a mirror, you don't really see the real you. You see the backwards you. And you don't see the you that other people see. You see the you that's reversed. And this is the way the emotions work on us. When we look in a mirror, it really looks like us, but it's not really the way we really look. And the emotions do this to us. It takes the truth and distorts it. So it looks true, but there's something wrong with it. It's reversed. So there's some untruth in there that needs straightened out. And this is the way the emotional world is. In the story where Adam was tempted by Eve, Eve represents the power of emotion. And Eve takes Adam into the world of experience through the power of desire and emotion. And this is the purpose of the emotional world, is to pull us into experience, because we need experience in order to gain knowledge. And that's what it's all about, is gaining knowledge. So the emotional world is a good thing. It's good and bad. It's good in the fact that when we're drawn into it and we have a unique experience, and then we come out of it, we say, boy, I really learned from that experience, but I don't want to ever go through it again. But on the other hand, if you ask somebody, would you give up that experience? If you could just snap your fingers and have never had that experience, would you say erase it from your life? And what does everyone say? No. No. I've talked to people who have been raped, and they say, well, if you could undo that rape, would you? No. Do you want to be raped again then? Well, no. But it was an experience. I mean, everything in your life, when you look back on your life, you wouldn't trade any experience for anything, would you? Yet a lot of those experiences you were pulled into because you were drawn in emotionally. I'd say 90% of people that get married to the wrong person did it on emotional decision. How many people have you met that have fallen in love with somebody? You can see that that person is totally wrong for them, right? It's just totally wrong. But they can't see it. They think, well, I'm in love with the guy. Well, yeah, but he's totally wrong for you. Let me tell you why. I don't care what you say. I'm in love with him, and he's going to change. Oh, yeah, right. It's funny. My older sister, her husband died, and she showed up at her house one day, and she had this new boyfriend. And she says, guess what? We're going to get married next week. I said, well, you only knew this guy for a week or so. Are you sure you want to jump into it? She says, well, you did. You jumped into your marriage. You knew already just a short time you got married. And I thought, well, I calculated. I thought, well, I've got a revelation from my higher self on that, though. But I suspect that my sister is just following her emotions on this, because this guy is treating her totally unlike her husband treated her, you know. Her husband was a scientist, and he was not really great at bringing flowers home type thing, you know. This guy was really into, you know, the flowers and all this. and razzle dazzle. And of course, the marriage only lasted a few months, and it didn't work out for her. But she was attracted by, he stimulated her desires. Her emotional body was very stimulated, and so she went with it. The second initiation is one of the hardest to overcome, to conquer, because you have to overcome the pull of the emotional body so that you can make a logical decision instead of an emotional decision. So when the salesman comes with encyclopedias and you're pregnant and you got a big hospital bill ahead of you and you can't afford those encyclopedias, you will say to him, well, we don't really need the encyclopedia. We won't need the encyclopedias till Junior is about 6 years old. So come back in six more years. You know, then we'll consider buying the encyclopedias. But right now, it's just too early. That's what the person would say if he's able to rise above the emotional plane on to the mental. And the same thing with many other things. We're always hit with emotional things. The politicians always play to us on the emotional level. Well, you want your kids to eat dirt? Of course you don't. You want to vote for me and I'll make sure your kids eat carrots every night or whatever, you know. And so he speaks to us on the emotional level, and we don't think about what the guy's really going to do to us or for us, whatever, however we want to think about it. So overcoming this, the emotions and mastering them is extremely difficult. One of the things we ought to do, of course, is be able to control our temper so people can't make us too irritable. You know, anger is one thing, also irritation. If getting irritated at yourself is one thing, and I suppose even that we have to let go, I think that's probably one of the hardest things to get over is getting irritated at yourself. But irritated at other people, and to get over other people coming and interfering with our emotional space, DK gives us an important key on that. He says we must take the attitude of the observer. Okay? The attitude of the observer. In other words, if you have someone in your life that is irritating to you and you feel like getting angry at on a continual basis, what you need to do, according to the esoteric teachings, is take the attitude of the observer. It's like you're in a motion picture. When you watch a motion picture, when you're in a movie theater, and somebody does something very irritating, you may feel like slapping him around if you were in the picture, but you're not in the picture. You know you're not in the picture, so you just sit and you enjoy the scene. You're able to sit back and enjoy people doing all kinds of irritating things and actually get entertainment out of it. So what we need to do is assume the attitude of the observer, because we're really in a great play here, being in this life that we're all in. We're a part of a play, so we need to assume the attitude of the observer. And when you do this, you can be like Jesus on the cross. There he was on the cross, and he says, he assumed the attitude of the observer. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Is that what his emotional body felt like saying? Probably not. He probably felt like saying, okay, all you angels, come and bring down fire out of heaven and consume all these guys. That's what his emotional body probably felt like. But instead, he assumed the attitude of the observer. And he observed, these guys are crucifying me because they just don't know what they're doing. And so only the attitude of the observer could, under such stress, come to a conclusion like that. And this is what we have to do with our relationships with people that are always giving us a bad time. Some people know how to press buttons with us. I've had people that I've been close to in my life, there's certain words that press a certain buttons with them. And when I find one of my friends has these words that causes them to react, I say the word over and over and over. Because if I say it enough, like my previous wife, she hated the word control. So whenever the word control come up, I'd say, control, control, control. You know, I'd say it over and over. And pretty soon it didn't bother her when I said it. We need to assume control over our lives so people don't have buttons that they can push in our lives.
I've got a personal example of that. When I was working and I had a coworker who got such a big kick out of talking dirty, telling me dirty jokes, using profane language. I mean, at the time, I was a good little Christian, go-to-church kind of person, and he really got a kick out of using profanity. I would blush, I would be embarrassed and upset by it, and he loved it. And when I recognized that this guy had control over me because he could push my buttons, I decided that I wouldn't let him control me anymore. I would. It was actually the movie Billy Jack. Billy Jack goes.
Oh yeah.
Billy Jack, yeah.
Yeah.
He said the same thing. He said, "You are being controlled by them because you let them control you. You are the one that's supposed to be in charge of your emotions,
right.
Not giving that power to someone else." So
well, it reminds me of a story. This guy was he bought this newspaper every day, and this newspaper guy just was really rude to him every day, and this associate was with him, and he says, well, how come you let that guy talk to you that way and you don't say anything? He says, well, why should I let him control how I'm going to speak? You know, and I always like that example. In other words, don't let other people control what your reaction's going to be.
Yeah.
Let your mind control what your reaction's going to be. Okay, we're about halfway through. One more question.
Maybe I read it wrong or whatever. Did DK also make comment about the, okay, let me back up, rewind. A lot of times in your teachings and in the discussion of them relative to emotion is that there's often kind of a negative thing put on emotions. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're being emotional, okay? Or that emotions are bad.
Yeah.
Okay, because they get in the way of our thinking. Okay?
Okay, that's a good point. So in other words, you're saying letting emotions out can be a good thing, right?
Well,
yeah.
Discharging them in an appropriate and fashion, I agree. And then, but my point is DK makes a comment that emotion, and maybe I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, emotions is what connects us to the ethers.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
To the what?
He made a comment
ethers.
About that.
Yeah.
And also I have found that there are different kinds of emotions. Now I don't mean anger, hate. I'm talking about level, higher and lower. Okay? So this gambit of emotions and I have found in various quote what I would say emotional states, you receive good things, and good things happen. All right.
Right.
A lot of what we're here, when you hear emotions, I always hear this negative connotation.
Okay, that's the answer will take a few minutes on that, so we'll take up on that after we take a short break.
10 minutes?